You can now listen to Conning the Con ad-free on Apple subscription and buymeacoffee.com/Conning the Con. But that is not all you will find there. I've got two little words for you. Tonka Trilogy. If you know, you know, right? And if you don't, keep listening to Conning the Con and it will all become clear soon enough. And if you want a sneak peek, head over to @ConningTheCon on Instagram and get a look at the lighter side of this, well, very heavy con story. Simply click the subscribe button now on Apple Podcasts for ad-free and bonus content. Or if you aren't an Apple user, head to buymeacoffee.com/ConningTheCon, where on top of that ad-free and bonus content, you can access exclusive videos. You'll find all the links, as always, in the show notes. Have you ever felt that pang of disappointment when you couldn't add a ticket to your collection because it was digital? Or maybe you just lost it? Well, StubForge.com is here to change that. Imagine this: tickets that not only look but feel like the real deal, because each ticket from StubForge is printed on the same quality stock that Ticketmaster uses and printed with genuine ticket printers. It's like holding a piece of the concert, the game, or the show right in your hands. But StubForge isn't just about replacing tickets. With the easy-to-use interactive designer, you can create custom tickets for anything, from concerts to sports games, pregnancy announcements, or parties. Why not make your invitations stand out with tickets that are as unique as your event? And if you're trying to complete a back catalogue of missing tickets, StubForge offers bulk discounts to make it both easy and affordable. With StubForge, you can once more give your loved ones physical tickets and see their eyes light up instantly at the best gift you can give. So whether you're looking to reignite your ticket collection, craft the perfect gift, or send the coolest invites, head over to StubForge.com. Start creating today and see how StubForge makes every ticket a story worth saving. Visit StubForge.com and start making tickets today. Something is creeping in. Don't follow it down. Welcome back to this Tonka Trilogy's bonus series. If you're enjoying it, please do feel free to leave us a 5-star Apple review. Let's jump straight back to that balmy Central Otago evening in April 2019, when only a few hours earlier, Emma's inbox had pung, announcing the arrival of the first 5 chapters of the aforementioned trilogy. Now, I have to say, it has been quite fascinating listening back to this as I edit, because at the time of the recording, we had no idea that a few months afterwards, we would actually end up interviewing some of the people that get a special mention in today's episode, like Andrew's ex-girlfriend, Kate. Her name makes an appearance in today's episode, but as for the story that he spins, well, I think Kate said it best back in episode 8 of Conning the Con. Andrew, he couldn't lie straight, even in bed.
Chapter 4, Business and Pleasure. This is quite a short one, so I think he's going to expand on this. Again, this will be very condensed. I ended up in my element in early 2004 when I joined Hazel Brothers Group. There you go, Sarah. One of Tasmania's largest civil construction companies. By 2005, I was Transport Division's general manager and embezzling money. Oh no, that was my addition.
I thought he was. I was like, Jesus, Kalanga. He's gone right out there. Say again. What did he actually say?
He finished the fact that he's a GM. I just added the last bit. I will expand on this later so you have some reading tonight. Jeez. Okay, thank you, Andrew. Chapter 5, World Travel equals Private Security Contracting. Oh God, I feel so sick. Also, to be expanded massively. In October 2006, I decided to take my OE with my girlfriend at the time in tow. Yeah, I've heard all about her. We just purchased around the world tickets and headed off to Canada via Hawaii. We spent the Canadian winter in Banff National Park. I was in my absolute element. Kate, not so much. Kate decided to...
Do you know her name?
Yeah, I knew her name. I don't know her last name. Kate decided to head back to Oz and cancel the rest of her trip. Yeah, he didn't say the rest of it, which was that she was a princess or something. He's got stories about her, which I don't know if they're true. I waved her goodbye and headed off on a USA road trip, something I had always pictured doing. I did a lap and ended up in Toronto. I then went back to Vegas on a quick holiday as I had driven through but hadn't stopped properly to enjoy it the first time. When I got to my hotel, Planet Hollywood, located on the Strip, directly opposite the famous Bellagio fountains, the girl on reception asked me so politely, "Are you here by yourself, sir?" "Yes, I am." Well, you better call some friends. You have a bowling alley and a full bar in your room.
What?
So I did exactly that. At the time, I still used Facebook. No, you still do, you lying fucker.
Yeah.
I put a post out with a video of the room. Well, I found your Facebook page. There was nothing on there about that.
I love you, like, to camera, like Miranda.
Within 4 hours, 8 mates had showed up, and then, stuff me, bloody Carl from school walks in the door. I've googled him, he's one of his Facebook friends.
So hold on, Carl, who's an Australian guy, happens to be in Vegas at the same time.
They must have got on planes. Within four hours, 8 mates had shown up. And then stuff me, bloody Carl from school walks in the door. Okay, so he's saying that within 4 hours of putting that out on Facebook, 4 friends were able to get to Vegas.
Of course.
He's like, he's seen the Hangover movie and combined that with the Blacklist series. And obviously Dirty John.
Yeah.
That's obvious.
Oh, like Dirty Andrews all over it.
So this is where the party at, he yells across the room. Carl had gone from a scrawny kid back in school to 6'5" of pure, complete tattooed muscle. You have never seen such a figure standing in your doorway.
Oh my god, it's such fantasy.
Do you want to know the bad news? It's finished. To be continued. So what he said to me now is that he is going to do the next instalment for me, which, you know, I really appreciate because I need to know if these are true facts.
How do you feel about it now that you've read all that? What's going through your head?
There's so many pieces in my head. My head is that he is such a con man. And that's what gets me, because there's moments where I'm like, man, he's working so hard to tell this story and lie. And
he is. He's typing away, Emma. Think about this for a minute. He stopped everything to sit there and write a novel. But he's sitting there typing out this fantasy. And he's thinking you're going to believe it. It's insane.
Yep. No, I feel sick to my stomach. There is like a anvil in my stomach pulling me down to the ground. And every time this stuff happens, it's... Yeah, like I'm on so much, like we talked about flight or fight being in survival mode right now. And in some ways, this is therapeutic. Like, I'm going to be honest, the fact that I can laugh right now and have you to balance this off when this person has been manipulating me so much, the lies he's told.
It's not just that, it's the small language that he uses in those texts and things that you were sending through before. Those are the small manipulations that aren't big and aren't massive, but the emotional blackmail in every word that he uses.
It's pretty bloody scary on that front, actually. I'm assuming my house has been bugged.
Do you honestly think your house is bugged?
No, I don't. That's why I'm laughing. Because he's not an agent. He's not a secret bloody agent. He's making shit up.
No, but that doesn't mean that he's not a general con man.
Yeah.
Put a tracker on your car for all you know.
Yeah, I thought about that one too.
Did you look at your bottom of your car?
No, but I will when I go out to work tomorrow, because I got to go back to normal life. Yeah. You know that feeling of if you don't, I mean, you went through it with the cancer treatments. If you stop, you think about it too much. And you've just got to keep doing your normal day-to-day tasks and do one step at a time.
That's exactly it. You just do it down to those bite-sized chunks and know that you can get through the next hour doing that, and then the next hour, and then the next hour. I think you're running on adrenaline.
Yeah. Here's my frustration point right now, and I'm interested to what people sort of think, because obviously this looks like a civil matter from the police point of view, that they know that he's a fraud and that this is the stuff he does. And so I've been in the police and they're under-resourced. They've only got like one detective there. But I'm worried if they don't get involved now and if they don't actually take the action, he'll get away or something will happen.
Well, it turns out Emma was spitting diamonds when she predicted that if the police didn't do something soon, old Shonky Tonks would get away, because surprise, surprise, that is exactly how it played out in the subsequent weeks. But that was all to come. As it was on the 11th of April 2019, Emma and I were left digesting the first few chapters of the Tonka trilogy, and Andrew Tonks was taking a break from his life as a truck dispatcher slash spy, cooking up the next instalment. And he must have been on quite the roll, because we didn't have to wait long.
So I'm back with my sister Sarah again. Still the same day, it's April 11th, and some stuff seems to keep pouring in with Dirty Andrew, and he has provided me another chapter
of his Yay! Story, which is actually kind of exciting, but also disturbing.
But it's like giving me more ammunition every time I'm trying to Google these little tidbits. No, that's not true. That's not true.
No, exactly. And he's messaged me tonight, trying to keep this ruse up with the fact that he's going to make the interest payments, you know, to me for the loan that he's got to tomorrow and all these things. And, you know, I know that it's all falling apart for him. So it's kind of, it's just a really weird mind game place to be at right now.
Yeah.
And losing it. Yeah. It's weird because I think about the stories I've heard, like just on Friday, I was at a local Chamber of Commerce event, which had awesome motivational speakers, Ian Taylor and Nigel Latter. And like Nigel Latter's talking about psychology and criminals. Actually, that is ironic because I remember messaging Andrew saying, oh, you'd love it. He's such a great speaker talking all about the criminal shit.
Oh, he would because he did psychology.
For 3 weeks.
Yeah, or was it sociopath and psychopath?
Yeah, we're going to call it that from now on. All right, chapter 5. Are you ready for this? World travel equals private security contracting.
Is it like when you get an upgrade by accident on the plane? You turn up and they upgrade your seat. They're like, I bought a ticket, world travel, and I've been upgraded to security level. Brilliant.
I think it's just like that. Yeah. Okay. Also to be expanded massively going forward.
Obviously.
Yeah. Okay. Operational information is loose until I get authority to go into details.
Oh my god.
Oh, here we go. This is the bit about
this is Carl.
Yeah, so
the
he's expanding about Carl, the tattoos. Bloody Carl from school. Okay, it's coming to that. I then went to Vegas on a quick holiday. Flights were $30 return, and I got accommodation for $70 a night. When I got to my hotel, Planet Hollywood, located on the strip directly opposite the famous Bellagio fountain. So, have you googled the Planet Hollywood if it has a place that has a bowling alley in it?
No, I haven't, but I
That's your homework.
I will do that. That's my takeaway. All right.
And do you think it's got it or not?
I think there probably are hotel suites with that, but the fact that he's paid $70 a night suggests that he didn't get one of those.
Yeah, but when I got to my hotel, Planet Hollywood, that's where he stayed, so we can Google that.
Oh my god, I
want
to do it now.
Directly opposite the famous Bellagio fountains. Yeah, the girl on reception asked ever so politely, are you here by yourself, sir? Like, how does he? And he's told me a version of this. God, he's like, he's worked it. I said, yes, I am. And she then said, well, you better call some friends. You have a bowling alley and a full bar in your room. So I did exactly that. At the time, I still used Facebook. I put a post out with a video of the room. Within 4 hours, 8 mates had shown up. And then stuff me, bloody Carl from school, now he's American, walks in the door. Okay, so how do people get there from that time? Like, how is that even possible?
So 4 hours. That's never happening in 4 hours. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, so he just got people. People everywhere, you know? Facebook friends everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay, bloody Carl's in the door. Right.
I think you need to work on your shirt. It's like, and then, oh, bloody Carl.
Bloody Carl.
Hands up. School.
This is where the party... Can't do it. What's my Australian accent? This is where the party at? Oh, that's quite good.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
He yells across the room. Carl had gone from a scrawny kid back in school to 6'5" of pure, completely tattooed muscle. Now, here's the bit that, you know, I was kind of going, maybe he's right. Because if you Google Carl, he actually does look like that. I don't think he was there and this actually happened.
No.
But he's used people in his life and his past. Like, he's got good character play. Like, he just brings them through. Once Carl had finished introducing himself to the other guests, I thought they were all from school.
Yeah, they all knew each other.
They're mates.
And you know how expensive mini bars are? Can you imagine how much his bar bill is if it's like a proper bar?
Especially if he's an alcoholic. He's an alcoholic at that point.
And Carl looks like he can put some away.
Yeah, exactly. Once Carl had finished introducing himself to the other guests and then decided what bedroom he wanted, let's face it, no one was going to argue with his choice.
Oh my God.
He then pulled me aside and asked if we could have a quick chat before we crack into the first beer. Oh my God, you were so delusional.
And also, so he's waited 4 hours for his first beer?
Yeah. No alcoholic does that.
No. And no gambler is
going to get a few bits, he announced the others, as he led me out the apartment door. Oh my God. So Tonka, I'm wondering if you may be interested in helping me with some logistics in a new business I have set up. Sure, oh God, I said. Anything to help you out, mate. I should really change it to Cobber. Eh? Cobber.
Yeah.
I've heard him use it. Cobber. And actually that was the one, I was like, Cobber, did you have to go there? It's because he turns into a new person with that. Hey, Cobber. Turns out I probably should have defined that anything a bit further. Yes, you should have. Oh, where am I at? I'm still at page one. Oh, that's so exciting. I jumped in the lift and headed for the ground floor shopping. Carl talked to me about old times as a kid whilst in the lift. Nice brief catch up. But then as soon as we hit the busy shopping floor, he changed conversation and explained his new private security company in the Middle East. Carl that I found here in the Facebook account, I think it was Facebook then via LinkedIn, had a bit on there about working in the Middle East or something. Anyway.
He's just hooking on to a mate that's got a better life than him.
Yep. Carl had been there for a year doing diplomatic transfers and went on to inform me he had just been asked to take on a contract that involved getting not only diplomats, but diplomatic documents and sensitive supplies across multiple borders. Is this when they did the smuggling people?
The human trafficking ring? Or was it when he was in his piss-stained clothes? Who knows?
Well, I like a picture were war movies of the time, but then my logistical brain kicked in, because he's got smarts. What size vehicles? How many employees? Paying customers per vehicle? How are the roads? Fuel stops? Budgets, etc. Oh my God, he's such a fucker.
Oh, it's just ridiculous, isn't it?
Oh, I just can't. I reeled off 10 or so more relevant questions, even questions I didn't even know to ask, like exposure to ambush, border politics, things like that. This has taken less than a minute for me to fire all these questions back at him.
Hold on. He asked questions he didn't know to ask?
Oh yeah, he's that good.
That is just making absolutely no sense. Oh, it's great.
And then I realised I had just been on a roll, and when I looked up, all I could see was this big grin. Then a punch in the shoulder I can still feel from Carl. We walked and purchased snacks to take back up to the room.
That makes no sense in so many levels.
Really, I'm going along with it. Like, I'm in.
You're there. I mean, okay. I've got questions, Emma, that I didn't even know to ask.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
True terrors of horror, bizarre happenings, unexplainable events. On our podcast, Disturbed, terror takes center stage. Each episode is a journey into the darkest corners of human existence, delving into bone-chilling tales of kidnappings, serial killers, maniacs, and the very essence of your worst nightmares coming to life on this weekly true horror show. Disturbed is not for the faint of heart. It's an exploration of real, unadulterated horror sourced from everyday people. Each episode is a descent into the macabre, where we narrate stories that will leave you on the edge of your seat and crawling in your skin. We navigate the disturbing narratives that lurk in the shadows, offering a raw and unfiltered listen into the most terrifying aspects of the human experience. Enter at your own risk and let the unsettling tales unfold in the haunting realm of Disturbed. And remember, listeners, stay safe out there.
I'm going to say thank you, Andrew, because actually without these chapters and stories, I don't know If I could be getting through this moment as much as I am right now.
No, to say his storytelling is getting weaker and weaker as we go on, which is a shame because I really believed the piss-soaked clothing, but now he's unraveling.
Okay, this is very believable. We walked and purchased snacks to take back up to the room in silence after my bombardment of questions. Then just before getting back the lift, Carl said, "We really need a good driver." I just stared at him, waiting for him to say something more. About 20 seconds passed, felt like 20 minutes. Then he finally finished with 25,000 US per week with monthly bonuses. That was his offer to Andrew.
My God.
We didn't speak a word in the lift. My mind was spinning. I was thinking, why not? I had spent almost all my savings. I was making $250 a week in Canada. And then I thought, what will I tell my family? Mum will have a heart attack. Then as we exited the lift and headed for the room, I simply said, okay. Carl turned to me and shook my hand. Just before we opened the door to enter the room, he turned to me and said, from this point forward, you are just returning to Canada doing whatever. Do not tell your friends, and whatever you do, do not tell your family. We fly out
this
and find...
This will self-destruct.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to self-destruct because I'm not a real person. We fly out in 5 days from Canada where we will hitch a ride. Andrew Thompson will have re-entered Canada and will be paying taxes, etc. But he will not be the only one leaving Canada in 4 days.
What?
So he's being a different entity. I will explain more as we go, but you'll be able to call your family whenever you need from there to keep up appearances. Shit! This is what he's put. Shit! WTF, what have I agreed to? We partied like it was 1999 for the next 2 days.
Imagine if he had led with this book. Like, oh, hi, I'm a novelist. Here's my book. The new Dan Brown, Australians and Demons.
Australians and Demons, I love it. Okay, so we partied like it was 1999 for the next 2 days. I wasn't drinking as heavily as I had been in Australia, so the hangovers killed me. All the others had to leave at the start of day three, leaving Carl and I 24 to 36 hours to arrange storage for my stuff back in Canada.
I just imagine him waking up on that last day and there's a tiger.
I'm just thinking the same thing.
And a baby.
Is there a tattoo on his face or is it hangover too?
And it's a tattoo on his face. And
like taken there.
So good.
Okay. Oh. Okay. Ensure everything was accounted for and set up direct debits to service all Andrew Thompson's bills, etc. He doesn't pay his bills anyway. Why would he start doing it back then? Before we were due to catch our flight, we had a visit from a very serious American fellow. Despite his serious exterior, he was actually very funny. I bumped into him again about 5 years later. Turns out he was being so funny because he never thought he would see us again.
So hold on, so they ran into an American guy and he was really funny, but he was only funny because he never thought he'd see them again?
He thought they were going to die. So right, here we go. He handed Carl and I envelopes and left. Inside each envelope, there were 3 passports, $25,000 cash advance, and a bound book. Oh my God.
A bound book.
This does sound good. I actually think I might be getting sucked back in and falling in love with him after this. The book containing maps, essential language requirements, and up-to-date news articles on political issues throughout the region. The passport blew my mind. They all had the same photo as used in my Australian passport a few years prior. There was a Canadian one with a completely made-up name, and a new Australian one with my name as simply Andrew Charlton, and a diplomatic one using my full name. I was blown away by the diplomatic one. I thought, fuck, what the hell are we going to do? What were you going to do? I was instructed to leave my normal Australian passport in storage in Canada and then leave Canada on the Canadian passport and use it the entire time if possible. Oh, we're getting to the end. We flew from Toronto to London, London to Rome, Rome to Istanbul. We then drove to the Australian Embassy in Istanbul, where we left our new Australian passports. This was our worst case exit strategy, apparently. And remember, he's got passports around the world, and diplomatic privileges in four places. Okay, it's the last line. I feel bad. We then flew from Istanbul to Baghdad, Iraq, the starting point of our first contract. Dun, dun, dun.
We haven't covered what he's texted you since.
So the outstanding money, oh, he's going to pay me $2,300 tomorrow. So I'm going to take that money because there's no way I'm probably going to see it otherwise. Oh, God, he's trying to tell me something now. Oh, what was it? Okay, here we go. I know you're probably asleep, babe, but I just hope you understand why I feel so lost and strange. Monday night this week, so just been, we were all happy families and celebrating. Yeah, because you're conning me. Come Tuesday morning, I have lost my dream girl. It just seems so strange to me to now be like this. I hope you know how much you mean to me, hun. Night, night.
He's relentless, isn't he? The fact that he hasn't cut his losses and run makes me think that you are a domino in a bigger story.
Well, turns out we weren't wrong. If you've listened to Conning the Con, which I have assumed that you have, and that's how you landed here, then you might remember that Andrew had several con plates spinning, all of which relied on Emma's money to keep them from crashing down. Coming up in the next episode, Andrew haphazardly attempts to join the dots from chauffeur to spy.
My last job was for a well-known American organization that took me from driving to observation at Intel. And it was incredibly risky. Turned out that I had a knack for it that would become desirable.
We hope you've enjoyed this bonus content. If so, do feel free to leave us a 5-star review over on Apple. It makes all the difference and does help others find us. This is a Community podcast production. You can check out more binge-worthy award-nominated podcasts like Clueless the Long Con, Stop the Killing, and Guilty Greenie on all the usual platforms, or head over to Instagram at Community Podcast. That is, of course, con with an N. Or simply click the links in the show notes. And for all things Emma Ferris, go to @TheBreathEffect on Instagram. Until next time, in the words of the world's most unassuming spy, we are now going dark.
Something is creeping in, don't follow it down.
Hello, and welcome to Guilty Greenie. I feel like we should start off this show by saying it's nearly impossible to be 100% sustainable given the current world we live in.
How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Not a great analogy for a vegetarian, but,
We're talking about sustainability, maybe not the best analogy.
Don't eat the elephant is the first rule of the Guilty Greenie.
There's your first challenge of the week. Avoid elephants. What they used to call frugal is now considered sustainable.
That's such an aha moment. Frugal to sustainable.
You can save money and help the planet. That's going to be our new
tagline for sure. Yeah,
You can find Guilty Greenie on Apple Podcasts or whichever podcast platform you prefer. And join us in tackling the Guilty Greenie challenges. Until then, stay curiously green.
On the morning of August 1st, 1966, shots ring out from the observation deck of the clock tower on the University of Texas campus. It marks the infamous beginning of the modern era of mass shootings in America.
You're listening to Stop the Killing podcast. Join us as we take you behind the crime scene tape to explain global mass shootings and mass attacks. I'm Sarah Ferris, but more importantly, this is Catherine Schweit, the former head of the FBI's active shooter program.
I spent 5 years as the FBI's top executive looking for answers to the mass shooting crisis. I've been at the shooting scenes. I've traced heroic acts of bravery, and I've sat silently and listened to the heart-wrenching stories from survivors.
Amongst this horror, there is hope. We all hold the key to stop the killing. You just need to know how to unlock the door. Download Stop the Killing and be part of the solution. Search Stop the Killing on Apple, Spotify, and all the usual suspects.